This is Harrison Smith, and you're listening to the Wobcast, hosted by Wobby.
Welcome back to another edition of the Wobcast. I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw, coming to you from Xfinity Studios at Winter Park in the aftermath of the Vikings season opener at San Francisco, a game in which the Vikings came out on the short and they lose the game 20-3. Not the start to the season that you envision, most certainly, but the NFL season is a marathon. It's not a sprint, and we're just getting out of the gates. Lots to correct, but lots of time to do so. For the Vikings. Now, things did not go as planned for the Vikings in their season opener. They lost the battle up front and in the trenches on both sides of the ball. We're going to hear from three principals from the Vikings team. Head coach Mike Zimmer, quarterback Teddy Bridgewater, and running back Adrian Peterson. Here are their thoughts from the season opener.
Obviously, we didn't play very well tonight. San Francisco was much more physical. They played faster. They executed better, and like I told the team afterwards that for the 2 years, you know, 17 ball games that I've been here, that did not look like the football team that I know. You know, it's everybody's been talking about us for 11 months, and you know, maybe we thought we were a little bit better than what we were. The surprising thing to me is. This team works. I mean, you go out to practice, they execute, they do things right, you know, because when they don't, then I'm on them pretty good. And so they perform. It just, tonight we just didn't do it. But, you know, when you get out physical, you get out, you know, I think we got out physical tonight.
A disappointing start to the season. It's not the way that we wanted to start. What you all saw tonight was not a representation of the 2015 Vikings. Good thing about it is got a short week, 6 days away. We get a chance to redeem ourselves and, you know, go out and play a better football game. Poor execution on our behalf. And, you know, we felt totally prepared coming into this game. And we just didn't execute well today. It's a reality check. You know, we know now after tonight's performance that we're nowhere near as good as everyone said we were. And you know, like I said, we have a short week. We have 6 days. We get to play Detroit, a divisional opponent, a team that knows us well, a team that we know well. So just have to get back to work.
This is just being out there offensively. It's like this is not us, you know. And defensively, watching those guys, they are a lot better than that as well, you know. So we just gotta be real critical. Of ourselves, and you know, really open our eyes and come back Sunday and show everybody what we really are about.
How do you now go about dealing with the embarrassment and the disappointment of this game and coming back?
Just, you know, redemption, you know. You got to come back better than you was before. You know, I just thank God it's week one and it's only one game, you know. So we have a divisional game coming up Sunday. We need to come out and take care of business.
To me, the main takeaway, particularly from Coach Zimmer and from Adrian, Monday night's performance, perhaps an aberration. Certainly an aberration from what we expected from the Vikings in the 2015 season, but I think an aberration from what they will become. I expect a big jump from the Vikings going forward as soon as week two, the Detroit Lions come to Minnesota, so the Vikings have a big divisional game against the Lions coming up. But going back to the San Francisco game, I think it's interesting. Everyone talks about the NFL has become a pass-happy league, a quarterback-driven league, and it is. This league is about the quarterback and the head coach and the passing game. A lot of the rules changes are favoring the passing game. But it's interesting because Monday night's game against the San Francisco 49ers, it really came down to the running game. The 49ers were able to stop the Vikings' running game, and that put the offense in some compromising situations. Some third and longs, and that allowed San Francisco's defense to come after Teddy. They sacked him 5 times. On the flip side, the 49ers were able to run the ball at will. They used a bunch of 3 tight end formations. They got Carlos Hyde running downhill, picking up yards in chunks on the ground. And what that did is it kept the Vikings defense off balance, and it disallowed the Vikings defense to do what the Niners defense was able to do to Teddy Bridgewater. The Vikings were not able to pressure Colin Kaepernick. And when the Niners did get into some of those third and mediums, third and longs, Kaepernick just made plays to extend drives. So in a pass-happy league, the running game really set the tempo in that game against the San Francisco 49ers. The Vikings were on the wrong side of the running game, both offensively and defensively, and thus they were on the wrong side of the final outcome. A couple of highlights from the game. You have the blocked field goal by Andrew Sendejo, scooped up by Marcus Sherrills, returned deep into 49ers territory. Unfortunately, the Vikings were not able to capitalize. They did not score after starting that possession so deep in Niners territory. The Vikings also did not score after they recovered a muffed punt from 49ers punt returner Jared Hayne. When you have two opportunities created by your special teams like that and you do not score off of them, it does not bode well for you for the rest of the game. And it certainly didn't for the Vikings on Monday night. And the second highlight, I thought Teddy did a good job of buying some time or using the time that was given to him by the offensive line to find new addition Mike Wallace. A lot has been written about Mike and how he can help the passing game. And Mike did have some opportunities, made some nice catches, runs after the catches. So it was good to see Teddy and Mike hook up. Hopefully that rapport can continue to develop. But that's it from the Vikings-Niners game. Other than that, I mean, a 20-3 loss, not the way you want to start it. It was ugly, lots to correct. But this Vikings coaching staff and these Vikings players will get to work to correct that, and they got to do it quickly because they have a division opponent in the Detroit Lions coming up. Speaking of division opponents, let's take a quick tour of the NFC North and get an update on what the rest of our division opponents did over the weekend. To do that, we bring in producer Nate Vaughn.
All right, Wobby, first we'll head to San Diego where Detroit met up with the Chargers. They had a 21-3 lead in the second quarter, so things were going well for the Lions early on in that game, but eventually gave up that lead, leading to a final score of 33-28 in favor of the Chargers. So a bit of a letdown there in the second half for Detroit, but what did you see from the Lions that we can look for next weekend?
Well, the Lions, to build that lead, did a good job of taking the ball away. I think they had at least a couple of interceptions off of Phillip Rivers. Phillip finished with a great box score, over 400 passing yards, and obviously led a great comeback. But early in the game, the Lions defense did a good job of taking the ball away. Glover Quinn had an interception. Interesting note, safety Glover Quinn for the Detroit Lions. He picked off Teddy Bridgewater last year at home for us. Glover Quinn has an interception in the Lions' first game in each of the last three seasons. So a great free agent signing for the Detroit Lions right there. And there's a lot of fool's gold in free agency. The Lions got Glover Quinn. That was a great signing for them. We're going to have to contend with him this week. But so good job by Detroit's defense at taking the ball away early in the game, helped them build up a big lead. And I'll also say a good performance from young running back, rookie running back, Amir Abdullah. And I will also mention, because of the success the 49ers had, and Carlos Hyde specifically had, on cutback runs against our defense, go back and watch that Lions game. Abdullah's first carry was a touchdown run on a cutback run. So you can be sure that as we speak right now, Nate, Vikings coaches are in the meeting room looking at what went wrong on the backside or front side of the Vikings defense to allow the Niners to gash them on the ground and gash them with some of those cutback runs, because it looks like that's something that Abdullah can do. Of course, we host the Detroit Lions next week, so it's something that you have to figure out. But those were my thoughts from the Lions game. I know they lost the game, but I view them as a very worthy opponent. It wouldn't even surprise me, not that we get into who's favored and not favored, it wouldn't even surprise me if they were favored in this game. I think the Lions have a good team. They did lose Ndamukong Suh and Nick Fairley, but they picked up Haloti Ngata. I love their safeties, James Ahedebo and Glover Quinn. And, of course, they have Calvin Johnson, Golden Tate, Matthew Stafford, and they may have a running game here with Amir Abdullah and Joique Bell and company. So, a team that lost, but I think a team that can be dangerous.
All right, and as you said, we face them this coming weekend. We'll have more on that matchup later this week in our next episode of the Wobcast. But we'll move on for now to the big NFC North matchup over the weekend, the Packers and the Bears. And was actually probably a little bit closer than a lot of people thought it might be. A lot of people not as high on Chicago, it seems, this year. But a good performance from Chicago, great performance from Matt Forte. Just when some people thought maybe he might be getting a little bit old, he didn't look like it at all. And then you have the story of James Jones rejoining the Packers and just scoring two touchdowns in his debut there. So some interesting stat lines in that matchup.
Yeah, I thought it was business as usual in that Packers-Bears rivalry. It's the longest-running rivalry in the NFL, Bears-Packers, and Green Bay won. I think a lot of people probably thought it would be a blowout, but what you have to remember, there just aren't a lot of blowouts. You just don't see that very often, and the Bears played Green Bay tough. So I think there are some things you can probably glean from that game. Go back and watch what Chicago's defense did to the Packers in some cases. But at the end of the day, Green Bay did what Green Bay does. They pulled out a victory, and they did it on the road at Soldier Field, which we know is a tough place to go and play. We do not win there very often. James Jones. So the Raiders and Giants couldn't use James Jones, I guess? I mean,
I guess not.
He left Green Bay via free agency, went to the Raiders. Raiders got rid of him. The Giants picked him up. The Giants got rid of him. And Ted Thompson was like, yeah, we'll take you when Jordy Nelson goes down. And what does he do? He scores two touchdowns. So, I know that Jordy Nelson is out, but Green Bay's offense is still lethal. It's because they have Randall Cobb. It's because they have James Jones. It's because they have Eddie Lacy. Their offensive line is better than it normally is. They've really improved there, but at the end of the day, it's because they have Aaron Rodgers, who, I believe he had three touchdown passes in that game. Chicago, yeah, Matt Forte is, as good a dual threat offensive player as there is in the NFL. I think he had over 100 receptions last year. It looks like he's going to be featured in that way again in this offense under new offensive coordinator Adam Gase. The interesting to watch Jared Allen playing as a stand-up rush linebacker, essentially, not playing with his hand in the dirt every snap. Interesting to watch that. It'll be fun to go back and watch some of those plays and see how he does and see if any of his pass rush moves are different. But that'll be something that'll be interesting to watch. Watch Chicago's defense over the season and watch Jared Allen specifically because we're so familiar with him, but we're familiar with him as a traditional 4-3 defensive end, and now he's playing a stand-up linebacker. Chicago stays at home, it looks like, this weekend. They play the Arizona Cardinals. Arizona coming off a victory over the New Orleans Saints at home in Week 1. Green Bay hosts Seattle on Sunday Night Football. So, Nate, we play at home next week. So when we get done working at the stadium, we're going to go home and watch that game. That should be a fun game to watch. And then we saw on the 49ers board, it's Packers at 49ers next week. So Green Bay, not a very easy schedule to start. I mean, on the road at Chicago, hosting Seattle, and then going to San Francisco. Three really good games, fun games to watch. And Green Bay has its work cut out for them, but Green Bay is playing really well right now. And if they start out strong, look out for them.
All right, now we'll move on to over-under recap.
No, let's skip that. We're gonna skip that.
I don't think we can skip it. We're gonna have to keep doing it, and then you'll get better. I'm assuming that might be a brash assumption at this point.
I need a coin. I'm gonna start flipping a coin.
You might want to just do that. Yeah. So we'll look at the first one. We had over-under 99.5 rushing yards for Adrian. We were both very excited. I think everybody was excited to see him suiting up for the Vikings again, rack up some of those rushing yards. Seemed that was also a focal point for San Francisco's defense.
Yeah, they didn't forget about him.
No, they didn't. So they had a lot of their attention on number 28 in the backfield. So Adrian was held to 31 rushing yards on 10 attempts, so just short of that 99.5-yard rushing target.
I even did research on this one. Like I looked back at his first three games to start a season since 2010. He was averaging 115.5 rushing yards and has 12 touchdowns in those 13 games. So I thought I had this one pretty well nailed. Now, this does bode well for this week, though, because I'm a big law of averages guy. So if Adrian averages 115 per game in his first three games of a season, and he was at 31 this week, he's got a big number coming against the Lions this week.
Well, that should be fun to
watch. That's what we call a silver lining, Nate.
There we go. We'll take it. The second one, we had the over-under at 0.5 forced turnovers for the Vikings defense.
Yep.
And you could call it defense, special teams. It's a turnover nonetheless. The muff punt by Jared Hayne was recovered by Audie Cole.
Yep.
So there's your one turnover over under. I don't really know the rules if a field goal block
is a turnover or not.
Is a statistical turnover.
Well, it
definitely, changed the game for the time being.
We'll educate ourselves after recording the show. We'll educate ourselves and we'll look it up. In the late week edition of the Wobcast, we'll report back to everyone and let you know if a blocked kick of any kind is a turnover. I think it's not, so my guess is it's not, which my record on over-unders will tell you that it probably is.
Either way, though, we're safe with the Audie Cole fumble recovery.
Right. So I got one.
Yeah, you took the over at 0.5, and it was, in fact, over. So congratulations, Mike Wobshaw.
Thank you.
On a correct prediction for over-unders.
Blind squirrel finds a nut every now and then.
That's right. And then for the third over-under, we had over-under 1.5 sacks for the Vikings defense. Mm-hmm. We did get to him once, but only once. So we had the one sack. Don't even really need to mention it, but you took the over.
Right.
And we're incorrect.
I saw some like in-depth, sneaky, cool stat that on Colin Kaepernick, like the first defender on Kaepernick misses a tackle on him like 70% of the time. And unfortunately,
we saw a little bit of that.
Yeah, I think we aided that stat going forward. We did not, we contributed to that stat being a trend and not a mirage. And so we fall short. So I'm 1-for-3. Off to a terrible start in the regular season.
Well, that's all right. Just like you said at the top, it's a long season.
Yeah. Well, I expect you to have 3 more over-unders, over-under propositions for me in the late week edition of the Wobcast so I can capitalize on those. Before we get going, I have one cool stat to throw your way.
Let's hear it.
For you and for anyone else who is ultra concerned about the Vikings coming off of the 20-3 loss. Which obviously is discouraging and disturbing, especially given all the hype and optimism that we had. But keep this in mind. The final 4 teams in the NFL last season, they were Indianapolis and New England, who met in the AFC title game, and it was Green Bay and Seattle. They met in the NFC title game. Their combined record after 2 games was 3-5. So... It's not how you start, it's how you finish. It doesn't mean that you can drop 2 games. I'm not saying it's okay to go 0-2, and start a season in a hole, but it is 1 game. 1 game does not a season make. There are 15 more to go, including a very important one this weekend against the Detroit Lions.
Well, and you saw how much just last year the team grew throughout the entire season, even just the second half of the season. So
yes,
definitely reason to still be optimistic, I think, about this team.
I think when we come back with another episode of the Wobcast later in the week, there are a few things that we should look at. How does the Vikings running game get back on track? I think a big talker this week is going to be, did Adrian feel uncomfortable running out of the gun formation and not running with the quarterback under center and getting a head start, not running behind a fullback? That's going to be a huge talker this week, I think. Pass protection will be a huge talker because the Vikings are dealing with a new starter at right tackle. They're dealing with a backup center playing because John Sullivan is out. You have a Lions defensive front that's very good. They have Haloti Ngata. They have Ziggy Ansah. They have some good pass rushers. So I think that's going to be a talker. And then I think people are going to look at the Vikings wide receivers. Were they able to get open? Was a reason that Teddy took sacks because the receivers weren't getting open? And if the receivers were getting open, why wasn't Teddy throwing it? I think that's going to be a talker and something we're going to have to figure out because the Lions sacked Teddy Bridgewater 8 times in the home game here last year. So I think those are a few nuggets that we're going to have to incorporate into the show later in the week. Okay, so it's a short week. We'll be back with that episode of the Wobcast later in the week. The Vikings have to turn around quickly after a disappointing loss. Get ready for the Detroit Lions. They landed back in Minnesota. We landed at about 6 o'clock a.m. Minnesota time from that game in San Francisco, meaning that 5 days and a few hours after landing back in Minnesota, the Vikings have to suit it up again and play a division opponent. I have a feeling with all the teaching tape that Coach Zimmer is going to be able to work with throughout the week, I have a feeling he's going to have his guys ready to go against the Detroit Lions, and that's good because they're going to need to be ready to go because the Lions are going to come in hungry as well after dropping their season opener on the road in San Diego in week 1. That'll do it for this edition of the Wobcast. We'll be back later in the week to take a deep dive and preview the Detroit Lions matchup on Sunday. On behalf of producer Nate Vaughn, I'm your host Mike Wobshaw. Thank you for listening. Talk to you next time.